The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And hello and welcome to a very special San Diego Comic-Con edition of IGN's weekly PlayStation show. I'm Max Scoville, and joining me today are my esteemed colleagues Brian Altano and Akeem Lawanson. What's up? And special guest Lisa Wallen, stand-up comedian, Twitch streamer, weeaboo, all-around cool person.
I was just sitting outside of the studio. You just invited me in last
minute. They're clapping because you like anime.
Yeah.
Putting you on blast.
Hey, anime.
Now, before we get started, a little bit of housekeeping. We're recording this on the Saturday evening on the tail end of our massive Comic-Con live show. If you're watching the video, that's why we have production value this week. It is literally the last thing we're shooting. We're all very tired. They're actually tearing the studio down in the background. So if there's any glaring oversight in massive news in the world of PlayStation, we'll tackle it next week. Please just be kind.
That also explains the loud clanging noises that you might hear throughout the show, right? Like something might just break or fall, like
that
one of these
true things,
a crane or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's just someone dropping a pole on a pile of bagels or something.
Perfect.
Anyway, let's talk about Spider-Man at Comic-Con.
I love him.
Well, hold on now. He might be up to no good these days.
I love Spider-Man too.
The sequel?
Spider-Man also or Spider-Man number?
It could be both.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so Insomniac had a panel at Comic-Con this year showing off some new stuff from the upcoming sequel, and I feel like this did a really good job of kind of reigniting excitement that I had for this game. Like,
yes.
I was, you know, obviously, it feels like just a kind of safe bet. Like, I know that it's going to be good. The first one was great. Miles Morales was maybe even better. Mm-hmm. And this is just, like, more of the same, but running on the PS5 proper. And, yeah, the story trailer... it's pretty great. Like, it's pretty awesome. Like, it really just kind of put things into perspective, and I'm stoked about it. Am I the only one who feels that way?
No. I think the biggest question I have is, what is Peter serving underneath that cartoon tray of food?
Yeah.
Is it lobsters?
Is he in disguise?
Like, not working.
Sneaking into Kraven's mansion or something? That.
Venom is under there?
There you go.
He's just got a little plate, like a little amuse-bouche of symbiote. just a little taste of symbiote.
Yeah, no, I was really excited for this trailer, especially when I saw Miles Morales. He looked like Akeem Lawanson circa 2019, which was pretty
right.
Cool.
That, so there's been like a huge debate about getting black people's hair right in games.
Yeah.
And I can't speak to hair of any race, but I mean, maybe you can chime in.
I mean, you look very alien-esque.
Yes,
the
thank you. Sure, great. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
That's a race.
Balds are taking over the world. That's we come in the night and we bite people and you lose your hair.
Come in peace. That's all that I care about. But the thing is, I was talking to the social team earlier today, and apparently that's been like a point of contention amongst the people on the internet, the denizens of the internet. You know, they're talking about like his hair, Miles's hair. Did they get it right? Did they get it wrong? Honestly, I like the Killmonger look. I don't see what the issue is. I don't know why people are focusing on that. And people comparing it to how his hair looked in Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Right. Yeah.
He grew it out.
Yeah. What's up with specifically Spider-Man fans nitpicking these games? Like, there was the whole Puddlegate in the first one, mm-hmm. where people were like, the puddles don't look as good as they did in the trailer.
Well, it's not just Miles too. Because like that, there's that shot of Mary Jane, right? And her hair's longer, and everyone's like, it's a different actress. Mm-hmm. And it's like, some people can grow hair longer.
Some people look different when you see them 9 or 10 years later, or 10 months. This is 10 months after Miles Morales, they confirmed that at their panel. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a time jump. Time has passed. Also, they're not real. They're superheroes. It's
right.
A fictional universe. I don't know. Anyway, but no, there's the whole Puddlegate thing. There's the MJ thing. They had to be like, no, it's the same character model. And people are like, oh, but what about the water looks kind of fake. It is fake. It's a video game. Shut up. They showed Venom. What's wrong with you?
Pick everything, basically. Yes. Yes.
But no, I mean, I don't mean that, you know, there will obviously be, you know, valid criticisms. But, like, I don't know. I think it looks phenomenal. I do want to know what's under that serving tray.
Is
Peter Parker scrambling for money?
I hope it's not a Doc Ock puzzle.
It's actually going to be a really low-quality puddle underneath that.
I hate puddle games.
Well, they did that thing. There was that thing in the first game. Do you guys remember the boat people in the first game? That sounds racist. But no, there were
people.
No, there were boats in the first game around Manhattan, right? And like people swung in and got really close to them, and they looked like these like weird cardboard cutouts, like when Kevin McAllister.
Yeah, so those are actually
Jordan in Home Alone.
Those were people who were in the stands in Forza, but they're on vacation in New York.
Oh, good, yeah.
So they went on the boat and they're just
there's a crossover.
They were like they were like triangle faced. Because they were like, no one's ever going to get this close. And they're like, dude, are you kidding me? It's a video game. We're going to get all up in this. We're going
to
try to update them. And then they did the remastered version, and they put regular normal people there. It was amazing. Rest in peace.
I'm glad they fixed that. But no, I don't know. This game has a lot going for it. I'm stoked about it. Lisa, what's your read on this? Like, we were sort of talking about
Just, like, obsessed with the cinematics to begin with. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I just like the fact that he's, like, fighting another Spider-Man, basically.
Yeah.
Like, another Venom-y Spider-Man. I only seen the movies. I'm not going to lie.
Like,
he's fighting a Spider-Man.
You mean Venom?
Yeah, Venom.
Okay.
Like, he's the affected
just
Spider-Man.
Just sure the infected Spider-Man.
There you go.
A little bit spidersome.
Yeah, he's a spider.
Here at Comic-Con, we have to find the biggest Spider-Man expert.
Yeah,
on Earth.
He's like,
get him on the
there
show.
You go, the infected Spider-Man.
You're crushing me by the way you're referring to Venom.
A venom-y Spider-Man.
He's a venom-y Spider-Man. No, it looks amazing. I actually never even played the first one, though. Like,
right,
I am the person that's like, why am I sitting here right now? No, I'm just kidding.
everyone's doing a great job.
No, I've been wanting to check out the Spider-Man games because I loved the Across the Spider-Verse. Oh my god, I love those movies so much, and so I wanted to check out the games finally because I never understood the Miles Morales story because I never really got into Spider-Man until recently. And so yeah, I saw the trailer a few days ago and I was like, okay, this actually looks right up my alley. So
I had a conversation with Max recently and I realized like I'm just completely basic when it comes to Spider-Man costumes. Like I only like the classic color schemes, and in all these games they do all these like completely over the top, like there's like mech suits and robot stuff, and I'm just like, I'm boring and I want vanilla ice cream Spider-Man, and he's just
I want my venom-y
blue.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, my lemony
yeah, like I mean, some of the costume variants that we saw for this were just out of this world. I mean they were like, I think there's like a Ronin Spider-Man costume, there's like
we have strong feelings on this matter.
Like, yes.
They revealed like a bunch of pre-order bonuses, and they got a bunch of comic artists to design different like takes on the Spider-Man uniform, and then they got the game artists to make those in game. And I feel like they all just look kind of uniformly video gamey.
Yeah.
And I'm not really feeling it. And I actually we went through like a sort of breakdown of the previous costumes, and I felt like a big old fake comic book fan because I felt the same way about the costumes in the first game, and. There, a lot of those are actually deep cuts to like more recent comics that I just wasn't familiar with.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like,
they're rooted in comic books. Like they've.
What
made
about Steve Ditko? They need to do more of those.
Yeah. It's a. It was interesting too because like, looking at the panel that they did, they revealed that PlayStation 5, which is like. It was basically the all red PlayStation 4 that is now getting Venom-y, is a word that we've now coined.
That's a new word now.
And
one of our producers thought that it was just a giant blood splatter, and I was like, what do you think this game is about?
Venom-y Spider-Man, regular Spider-Man. That's
yeah,
what I know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And I was looking at the collector's edition thing they're doing with the big statue, and Max, you and I were actually on the convention center show floor the other night shooting videos like we always do, and we found this booth. And they're called Premium Collectibles?
Premium Collectible Studio, yeah.
Yes.
They're the ones who designed the collector's edition statue.
Yes.
They also had this, like, just shockingly cool, like full-scale Carnage bust, like, of Carnage's head. Carnage isn't real, which is good. Like a
That's Carnegie Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Carnegie, yeah.
Carnegie Spider-Man.
Ketchup Spider-Man. It's fine.
Carnegie Spider-Man. Carnegie Spider-Man does concerts.
No, like, but they made this, like, this crazy bus that's, you know, he's got his teeth open.
So many Spider-Man people are going to... Spider-Man.
Spiders folks.
Spider folks.
The boat people and the spider people. That was worse than the boat people,
yeah. So many spiders folks are going to be pissed at me. Like, who is this girl with the venomy Spider-Man?
Folks.
So I'm a big fan of Man-Spider more than Spider-Man.
Man-Spider, yeah. I feel like that's a thing they've done.
You know that's a thing, right?
That's Danny DeVito. That's what that is.
What? No, Man-Spider is like, they did that in the 70s, and it's just, it's horrible. It's just like a tarantula that's wearing a Spider-Man costume. It's very scary.
Well, they should make a video game out of that.
If they put that in a game, I'll be upset, and I don't want to play it anymore.
So this company that's making, they're making the statue that comes with the special edition or collector's edition of Spider-Man. They're making this Maximum Carnage statue, which is incredible. But they also had a 1-to-1 scale
Ketchup Spider-Man.
Chun-Li.
Oh.
Chun-Li Spider-Man.
We don't need to talk about it.
I need to talk about
Wait,
this.
The Chun-Li.
Okay. We're not going to
talk. No, it's not Spider-Man. Can I just roll? This is fine. This is an all. We're talking about PlayStation. This is Street Fighter VI is on PlayStation, right? Chun-Li, famous video game character, video game podcast.
Talk about the
it
statue.
It's a statue of Chun-Li, but only from the waist up.
It's a bust.
It's a bust, okay. But it's the size of us.
This show is
human.
A bust.
It's terrifying.
And it's made of silicone.
All right.
And they kept it behind.
Now I'm interested.
And they kept it behind glass.
They all their collectibles behind glass.
But that one especially.
Right. So anyway,
because people are grabby and gross.
Okay. All right.
Boat people.
You can't say that. You gotta stop.
Spider folks and boat people.
Okay.
This is off to a great start.
Really running a tight ship here.
How did topic one go for you?
I think it could have gone better. So, another thing that got shown off at Comic-Con, big panel, was Star Wars Outlaws.
Yes.
We got some new details on that. That is... I want to play that game. I'm a little bit cross that I don't...
See, I have seen all the Star Wars, so I can talk about this.
Good. Yeah. Awesome.
What's your... So, what's your vibe on open world games?
I love them, but I also have diagnosed OCD, so they're unhealthy for me.
Okay, I think that's a fair
because
answer.
Because I do.
That's why you like the Yakuza games, though, right? Because they're open world games, but they're
not. But
then they're
I
like
just
cozy.
Do karaoke for 30 hours.
Yes.
And then forget that someone's dying in the background.
Some guy really needs toilet paper, I gotta sing.
I think because I'm actually not a huge star. I like Star Wars movies, and then they started doing other things, and I was like, oh, this is just too much now. Like, I'll just stick to my short 3-hour films. I had not played a Star Wars game since the N64 Rogue Leader one, and so I was very far behind.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Rogue Squadron?
It was, there was two, Rogue Squadron, Rogue Leader.
You missed a couple bangers, but honestly, not that much.
Yeah.
No, really, yeah.
But this is the first time I watched the trailer, and like the 10-minute gameplay, and was like, okay, this is really up my... Also, you don't have to be a Jedi. That was the first thing. It's like, I don't have to know too much about any lore to begin with to really enjoy this game.
It got me so mad that people were like, well, where's the lightsabers? And they're like, a month ago, before this game was announced, like, a lightsaber game came out.
Yeah, literally, like, it's Jedi Survivor.
Yeah, it was like April or something, and this game got announced in June. Like
6 weeks prior, it came out 6 weeks prior to this game getting announced. People are like, what do you mean I have to be a girl and I don't get a lightsaber? And it's like, go to your GameStop,
go
get
the... girls in Star Wars.
Like talking fishmen who pilot spacecrafts and have swivel chairs, sure.
But we actually, learned some cool stuff about this game at Comic-Con. One, we asked Max in our dev interview if you can customize the speeder bike. I specifically asked if you could put stickers on it, and they said there's no stickers.
Are there stickers in Star Wars?
I don't think there's. Well,
are there stickers?
Canonically, I just feel like that doesn't.
Like that
kind of
breaks. That exists in that universe. For
stickers?
Yeah.
Stickers.
What about puzzles?
We need a fact check about the stickers.
Do they have puzzles in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man.
Yeah. I love puzzles.
I'm sorry, puzzles are very tasty.
They definitely have puzzles in Star Wars. Puzzles are mysterious. Stickers are not. Stickers are straightforward. I feel like they either have like stencils and like spray stuff, like weird decals.
If you guys had speeder bikes, would you put stickers on the
I
speeder
would.
Bike?
Yeah, of course.
I would do it.
That's how you customize.
That was our
I
big takeaway
pink.
From
pink. Make it pink and sparkly.
Pink and sparkly, and then you put like little. What kind of stickers?
Because it'd
put
be
on
really
it?
Good for stealth reasons.
They put pink and sparkly speeder bikes in in the Book of Boba Fett, people got mad about it because they thought it was too silly and colorful. And I was like,
it's because they were too slow. That's why. And they looked like old vacuum cleaners.
Oh no! Whenever it comes to like video games that are based off like franchises, like Spider-Man, I think that's what it's called. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, you learned that character's name today. That was good.
Enemy Spider Guy and the other Spider Guy. But it's like with comic books, it's all convoluted. Like you have to read this by this person. He has it. With something like the Star Wars Outlaws, it's like, oh, I'm just a person doing stealth stuff, and then I don't really need to know much so far. They kind of just dropped you into it.
No, I mean, and this one specifically. To counter everything you just said, takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Which I have seen.
Yeah. So. One of the least documented eras in Star Wars.
If you haven't seen those, this is still an interesting game.
Of course.
You know, like, I'm not like a huge Star Wars fan.
You're on rocks.
Very interested in this game.
It's also Naveed Kavari, who worked on a bunch of the Far Cry games, is working on this game. And I just learned that today when he walked in our studio to like record with us. And I was like, oh, you made Far Cry games? I love Far Cry games. Like, put a little... So there's going to be Far Cry in this game? Awesome. And it immediately got me thinking, like, all right, can you go to an outpost, and there's, like, a wampa in a cage, and you shoot it, and it lets it out, and it starts eating stormtroopers and drug dealers and stuff like that. Great. Give it to me.
That's my whole gripe with Battlefront is, like, everyone was like, it's just going to be Battlefield with Star Wars. And I wish it was. That would have been great. They just do, like, palette swaps of the guns and make them fake guns and make, like, laser noises and stuff. Like, that's fine. Just do that. But, like... I mean, this is the studio that is doing the Avatar game, too. And we're going to get Avatar Cry, and then we're going to get
Star Cry.
And it's going to be just Far Cry with different galaxies, and that's great, and I think it's
wonderful.
And
you're going to get Devil May Far Cry, and it's just going to keep going.
That might make me play Devil May Cry game.
I understand you, Max. Why did you say Avatar Cry instead of
Paw Cry? No, Tar Cry or Paw Cry, because they're cats.
They don't have paws, though. Yeah, they have Ninja Turtle hands.
Yuck.
You don't like the turtles?
No, I love the turtles. I don't like cats.
You don't like their hands?
I don't like cats.
I love
the
turtles
with hands.
Okay.
Have any of the turtles ever gotten engaged? Like, could you imagine one of them putting a ring on?
Are you asking me that?
This is not even in the top 5,000 stupidest things I've ever asked you, Max. Especially this weekend at Comic-Con.
That's very fair.
There's a whole panel about whether the turtles get engaged.
No,
that was topic two.
No, there's
for you.
Not. I don't think it's going so great. I don't know.
Keep checking in on, you know. As we move on to the next topic.
Did you learn anything exciting about Star Wars?
No, I just want to play it.
It looks fun.
They mentioned something about working with the story group on new lines of dialogue in Huttese, which is Jabba the Hutt's language, which is funny because that's his last name.
Huttese.
Yeah, Huttese.
You're such Huttese, Brian.
That's so funny.
Ooh.
You are, though.
Ooh.
I liked it.
Showing a little bit of...
I'll tell you, I liked that joke. That was good.
I hope that they... Like, I want this game to come out sooner than later. Like, I'm kind of worried if this is the drip feed we're getting of information about this game. Like, if this is a fall next year game, like, I worry I'm going to get sort of, like, tired of hearing about it. Like, it's very easy to kind of get Star Wars fatigue. It happens. There's a fair amount of Star Wars stuff getting constantly, you know... bombarded at us these days.
Yeah, but the fact that you're thinking it might come out next year is awesome because we just got a game this year. So I feel like Star Wars fans
people are definitely still
good.
Talking about.
Yes.
All the time.
So y'all be eating good.
Well, and they said 2024, but in video game land, that doesn't really mean anything to me anymore, right? Like they said a year.
Mm-hmm. Deadlines, dates don't mean anything.
It means nothing anymore.
I personally just need them to stop making games for a little bit, just so I can like catch up on everything else. You know
what that would do to the game developers, though?
Yeah.
If they just
they could spend time with their families and have a healthy lifestyle.
Well, honey, we're not going to make games for a year.
They could play games.
Yeah, they could.
Right? They could catch up.
Catch up on games. There you go.
Yeah. I mean,
you guys wouldn't have a job, but you know, you can catch up on games.
No, I'll just talk about the Ninja Turtles getting married. I'm good for it. It's at least a month.
Follow me on Patreon. I'm gonna have all sorts of speculation about how they would get married.
If they stop making games, we can actually settle this argument about whether or not the Ninja Turtles get engaged. So much discussion.
What there was like, I think IGN put up a list. Last year felt worse for it, right? Like how many games got delayed?
Yeah.
This year, like games are actually coming out. Constantly, but last year was definitely like, hey, so everything you were looking forward to is gone. Try it next year.
And we were all like okay with it, and now everything post-COVID is now coming out. I'm like, this is a lot.
I know.
everything.
Everything is hitting this year at the exact same time. But then there was a writer's strike, and so like then the movies get delayed. So there's always something.
I guess I don't know what the pop culture landscape of 2024 is. Like, it's kind of out there.
Hopefully it's Star Wars, Outlaws.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, consoles. I hope that comes out next year. Yeah, I mean, like, I want to say that I Ubisoft can put out, like, an Assassin's Creed game, like, every year if they want to. They can crank out Far Cry games. We know that. Like, they've got Star Wars, and they've got Avatar.
You guys are anime fans, though. We're anime fans. Yeah. We're, like, constantly stressed out about how many things are coming out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, there's like 17 TV shows right now that I need to watch. Like, that's
a lot.
Every season. It really, it's not even an exaggeration.
Yeah, no, not at all. There's new anime every single year.
Yep. And it,
well, a ton of shows.
Yeah, there's new everything every year, but.
Well, yeah, that's how time works.
New leaves on the trees, new birds in the sky.
All
the things that you were hyping up before the pandemic are now coming out like this year on top of all the games. And it's like being someone who's like into multiple different fandoms, it's just, it's so stressful.
There is like that, like I don't have enough time for this type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Or just like, I wish I had more freedom.
Yeah, you're space. Like that, there's that Twilight Zone with the guy who breaks his glasses and it's all the time in the world, but it's like, I don't know.
That
he could probably do audiobooks now, you know, just get like a...
It's like if I broke my anime TV.
You don't
want to watch my.
Is that why you don't watch anime? You don't have a special TV for it?
You need one, right?
You don't have a dedicated anime TV?
Specifically a Japanese TV.
A Japanese? Yeah. I
like
think I have
all of
those.
Them are.
Yes, like all of them, right?
An anime TV. I don't know. I don't even. That's the dumbest question since the Ninja Turtles getting
they're
married.
They're making an anime game, right? Wrapped around a movie that Max watched yesterday.
Yeah, it's called Rocket Power. It's
Rocket
a great
Power.
New anime, Nicola.
That's not nearly dumb enough.
It's called Sandlot.
No, it's
Sandlot. They're making a Sandlot video game. You have to get the ball. It went over the fence, and there's the big beast, and he keeps eating it. What are we going to do?
Can we please put some respect on Toriyama, please?
Yeah. Of course.
No, we can't. Okay,
so Sandland. Okay. No, Sandland.
Yeah. You did a great job playing it.
Something I don't think... something I don't think anyone expected was for there to be a new Toriyama game this year that got... a game and a movie. Actually, I don't know if it's this year or next year, whatever. But it's not Dragon Ball.
Yeah, the game is not. There's no release date on this game just yet.
So we got this revealed at the Naughty 3, whatever it's called, Summer of Gaming, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And Akeem, you got a chance to actually play it on the show floor.
Yes, I got a chance to play it, and I talked to the producer for the game. The game is extremely well polished. I asked one of the questions I asked was how long was this game in development because of how far along it looks. Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't answer that, which is totally fine. But again, the game is very well polished. So you get 10 minutes to play this particular demo, and what they don't tell you is that it's you can go anywhere that you want to go in this game because it's a full world game.
It's a full-on, like Sandland is the star of the game. It's just open world.
So it's essentially you're not really like beholden to like it's not going to cut off when you get to a certain point. The game just stops when you reach 10 minutes. So you can go as far as you possibly can and wherever you want. There's also even an Easter egg in there. There's an Easter egg area that you can find that not too many players have found in the demo.
The demo.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I love it. I can't wait for this to come out.
So let's just contextualize this for a second.
Yeah.
Because like this is something that fascinates me because it is... For all intents and purposes, it's a new intellectual property.
Yep.
It is based on a single volume of manga that Toriyama put out.
23 years
ago. 20 years ago.
In 2000. And it's like a thing he did for fun because he's like, I like demons and I like tanks. I want to draw some tanks and demons doing stuff in the desert. And then he was like, drawing tanks is surprisingly hard. I think I'm going to stop. One volume, published it. People were like, it's cool. But like, it didn't have the legs of, you know, Dragon Ball or anything like that.
Does the volume have like a finite ending? Like, does it feel self-enclosed?
That's
awesome.
So actually, they also, in addition to making a game, they also just made a new movie, which I saw the world premiere of last night.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's if you saw the last Dragon Ball movie, where it's the first time doing sort of hybrid CG, but also 2D animation. Like, it looks like anime, but if you look closely, you're like, oh, that's, you know, 3D or, you know, CG character models, which I think was kind of a weird adjustment for Dragon Ball fans because after 40 years of Goku being, you know, hand-drawn, more or less cell animation.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, not just Cell, but also Boo and Frieza and all that. But you know what I'm saying. But this is unfamiliar characters for the most part, and it looks great. It's gorgeous. I'm kind of wondering if they were like, well, we're going to have to make all these character models for the game anyway. Might as well use them in an anime and make a movie out of it.
Do you remember what studio animated it?
I don't, off the top of my head, no.
Walt Disney.
Yeah.
I would say the same studio that animated Dragon Ball Super Super Hero.
Mm.
That's a
yeah.
Good guess.
That's
yeah.
A, I mean, safe guess, but yeah, it's so the premise is it, the king of the prince of demons is a dude named Beelzebub, who's yeah. basically like if you crossed Kid Buu with Chibi Trunks, like he's mm-hmm. just like a pink little pain in the ass, like little rascal, and he has to team up with this sort of grizzled sheriff. And they live in a, you know, titular sandland where there's not a lot of water. And the reason for that is there's an evil king who sells water through, like, infomercials. And it's just,
nice.
Like, okay, doing some price gouging. And they're like, well, here there's a mysterious reservoir. Let's go find it. And then they find a tank along the way. And they drive around in a tank. They shoot some stuff. And then they find the water. That's like, the, I don't want to spoil it, but like, what yeah. did you think was going to happen?
Some Mad Max, right?
It's extremely Mad Max.
Okay.
It's got, like, actually some really funny, like, side characters. It's kind of got this sort of like Immortan Joe type character. And again, this is like long before Fury Road came out. It's got this like weird, these weird like characters who live in the desert who are called like the swimmers. And yeah. they all dress like water polo players, but with like capes and stuff. And they're all like, they're sort of mutated. They remind me of that weird family from Judge Dredd lived out in the desert
with
the machine.
Yeah.
But they're awesome. But they're all wearing like Speedos and goggles and stuff. And the dad is like, I'm so sad there's no water. None of my boys know how to swim. And they're all wearing Speedos. I'm like, what are you doing out here? Like, it's really stupid. Like, it's a really stupid, silly story. And I mean that lovingly. Like, it's goofy. It's Toriyama.
It's like a Dr. Slump type thing.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, Toriyama makes funny stuff. Like, he's always been extremely silly. And I think the more serious action-centric side of Dragon Ball is what really started printing money. And he kind of got sucked into that. And, you know.
I just like how it's like a gritty type of animation, because a lot of anime games, like, they're kind of boring to me because it's just kind of like
they're
the
too
same
clean, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're too clean, and it's kind of hard to like take things seriously when it's just like a CGI model of the exact anime versus this. It's like it's a lot more like there's a lot more character involved
with
it. Yeah,
yeah, there's a lot
yeah.
of like grit to the character models and stuff like that, which
yeah.
and they brought that over into the game, and I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, I kind of want to circle back onto the game a little bit more just to give some more context as to what I experienced. So you get to ride around in the tank. And there's also some melee combat as well. Now, I gotta say, vehicle combat was a little bit wonky to me. Again, like I said, the game looks polished, but combat in the tank was a little bit complicated. When you think about games like GTA, which really just, they perfected like being able to ride around in the car. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard to really control the tank.
Yeah, there's a lot of tanks in GTA.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, GTA 3, you can drop a tank.
Yeah, but can you fight dinosaurs? Yeah.
No.
What are the big complaints about GTA? Yeah, fair. Okay, yeah.
GTA is definitely known for its mechs, but yes.
Mechs?
I said tanks. So what, the tank
mechs,
doesn't
though.
Control well, or it does?
No,
or
it does not.
Does it have tank controls?
Damn it.
Clear my throat there.
Mr. Rain It In over here for the first half of the show is letting a little loose all of a sudden.
But there are subtle nods to other Toriyama properties as well.
I mean, all the machines are Dragon Ball stuff.
Yeah.
And there's one move that Beelzebub does that's kind of like a power-up move that can kind of defeat nearby enemies.
Right.
You mentioned there's even like these Ginyu Force-esque characters, you know, that I think is just awesome. So anyone that's not familiar with Sandland, but you're familiar with Dragon Ball Z, you'll be right at home here. Because, like, honestly, like, I knew about this manga. Me and Max, we were talking about this, like, weeks ago. I was familiar with it, but I never actually picked it up.
I mean, I think that's sort of a running theme with a lot of people is, like, Dragon Ball fans knowing what it is, but never feeling compelled to have to read it because it doesn't have this, like, huge, you know, fandom behind it, but like I don't know. I was like, I want to see what happens.
Right. Yeah.
I read the manga.
Trying to build something here. Like that's what there's a reason why like we got this we got this gameplay. The movie's coming out soon. There's a reason for this.
It was really funny before the movie. They had like a letter from Toriyama.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm really wondering why they decided to adapt this horrible manga now. LOL. And it was like
really?
totally poking fun at his own work. But
yeah. Oh my God.
Apparently he's really fond of it. And like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I love Dragon Ball. There's been so much Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
It's really nice to get something new. Like, there's martial arts. There's beating people up. But there's also like I don't know. There's mechanical things.
Well, you were saying, like, that, you know, you weren't wild about the tank. Was that the only vehicle you got to try? Because I'm looking at, like, there's, like, these bipedal walkers, and there's like, beasts that you can ride, and a really fast car.
Yeah, I got a, there was, like, a cart I was riding in. So the game starts out with you trying to escape this sandworm. But it's front-facing, so, you know, I'm like, controlling it.
So camera-wise, it's like janky.
Exactly. I think they. I don't know. I feel like the vehicle system might. It needs a little bit more work. I don't know. The controls are just a little bit wonky for my liking. Also, want to throw this out there for people that are familiar with the manga. This kind of expands on that. So there's a lot
of
elements.
Have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's one volume. There's not much there. Yeah. Which I'm kind of like, the setting is cool, but. What are you going to do? And I mean, the fact that they've got a bunch of mechs and stuff that are, like, straight up lifted from Dragon Ball, I think they're actually, they might actually be models that they used in Kakarot that they've, like, put over here, which I'm fine with. But they're, like, they're weird kind of, they're, like, background hovercraft and stuff that, you know, you drove around with in you know, the early Dragon Ball. And it's, like, if they're using that here and fleshing out that universe, then sure, why not?
There's a shot in the gameplay and in the trailer where there's, like, these kids are, like, playing a Game Boy. I want that to be like a playable thing inside.
It probably will be.
Like a mini game? Yakuza mini game.
Yeah, and you
just
can find
karaoke.
Little parts. Like little parts.
Did you mess with Kakarot at all?
I didn't, no.
It's basically a Yakuza game with Goku. Like structurally speaking, like there's a lot of sort of their beat 'em ups and their random encounters, but like, you know, you just go and fight a bunch of dudes, and then you go and you're like, I have to go eat a bunch of food, and there's a mini game about that.
Which is why I love it when they do things, because like the One Punch Man game that's coming out is like that, where it's like, it's like whenever it's just like, oh, it's like shonen characters fighting each other, I'm like, cool, that's every game that every anime has ever made. But it's like when they do side things that kind of deep dive into like the characters a little more, I'm like,
that's where like
that's what I want.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of sort of slice of life stuff.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mortal Kombat 1 has not been exactly kept under wraps
it's
too well.
It's the first Mortal Kombat game ever.
Finally. A new fighting game.
Mortal Kombat Zero.
Without knowing anything about anything. This is a really funny game specifically because the game's existence got spoiled by WB Discovery CEO David Zaslav in like an earnings call.
Otherwise, then, great guy though, right? No notes. Sounds good over
there. Sure, he seems cool. But they also I don't even know where this came from, but the roster of the DLC characters leaked, and so like alongside the existence of this game, they were also like, and it's going to have Peacemaker and Homelander and Omni-Man in it, and
which
we've all known this.
I know. I can't believe all of that. Well, like that. What's interesting about this game is that like we only just found out about all of this a few months ago. And then, like, legally or officially, it got all revealed.
Yeah.
And then it's out already in, what, September?
I feel like they kind of had to do that, though.
I know. We don't know a release date for Star Wars Outlaws, right? Or Sandland, right? Like, pretty much every game we've talked about already today has been like, oh, hope we get to play it someday. But with this one, they were just like, a bunch of it leaked. A bunch of it got officially revealed. There's stress tests out there that they put out in the wild for people to actually play. And then it's going to be out in like two months.
It's frustrating because like I feel like NetherRealm and WB historically was really good about keeping stuff under wraps until the last minute. Like I remember I want to say it was the first Injustice. Like that was completely a mystery. That was a big surprise until I went to E3 and like looked up and there was a banner and it said that. And I was like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And then they showed it off for the first time the next day. And then it was out like a few months later, which is that turnaround on that is really cool. It's nice when things get kept buttoned up like that.
Yep.
It's a little bit sort of almost not underwhelming, but like anticlimactic when we all knew that we were going to get Peacemaker and Omni-Man and stuff. They just hadn't confirmed it. This Comic-Con, they finally sort of showed that off. That would have blown everyone's minds if that hadn't been spoiled in advance.
I know.
But what's cool is we did actually get, we got Ed Boon and a bunch of other folks on stage to talk about Mortal Kombat 1 and kind of explain a little bit of the thinking behind it. And they kind of framed it as like, what's the theme of like this round of guest characters? And it's bad superheroes. It's like it's
anti-hero
bad
shit. Yeah.
I love that.
This is also kind of a cool make good because they didn't like normally they do a Mortal Kombat and Injustice. Mortal Kombat Injustice. We got used to that cadence a little bit, and people were really expecting Injustice 3, and they didn't get it. But they got Mortal Kombat 1 with evil Superman knockoffs.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny too because it's like there's so many villains that are in these games, and it's like for these, I feel like these are the people that we really want to beat up the most.
Yes.
Like we can beat up the Joker. It's fine. He's bad. But it's like Omni-Man. He's trying to be a good dude. He's not a good dude. Like we're gonna. Yeah. Like no, this I, is this yeah, is who I fantasize beating.
I want to rip Homelander's heart out.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You hate that
as
yeah.
Omni-Man. Like
yeah.
The thing is like I love Omni-Man is just amazing. I've always wanted to play as him. I have nothing against him. I mean, look at that chest. It's such a chisel.
I mean, they
chest.
Did a lot.
Well, this is fascinating because,
for me,
like,
I should say,
yeah, so what does that O stand for in his chest?
Yeah,
then for you,
I do like the. I mean, they could have just done J.K. Simmons, but they still,
is he voicing it? Do you know? Do we know?
I don't know, but I mean, they didn't use his face. He still looks beautiful.
I think Mortal Kombat.
I definitely want to punch him.
I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing because it's like when like Sakurai at Nintendo calls someone and is like, "Hey, can we get Sonic the Hedgehog in Super Smash Brothers?" They're like, "Yeah, sure, that'll be fine." Or like, "But don't make him too tall or too small." And in this game, they're like, "Can we get a Homelander in this game?" And it's like, "Yeah, can you send over some X-rays of what the inside of his groin looks like? Because we're gonna make it explode."
No, it's like somebody's gonna throw a boomerang at him.
Do you think there's gonna be fatality using milk? I really hope there is.
I think you're gonna do something.
100%.
That milk?
Show up and just go glug, glug, glug.
I hope they really goof up the fatalities with these characters.
Yeah,
I had not
thought of that.
What I think is interesting here is like we've seen live action Peacemaker and Homelander because they are live action predominantly.
Have we actually seen live action Peacemaker though? We actually seen him?
No, there's the helmet and there's the shirt. They just kind of float there. Yeah. It blends in.
I'm glad you got that. Yeah. Otherwise, it would look really bad for me.
Peacemaker, we just don't know who the actor is.
Right. Yeah. No, it's weird that one of these days they'll maybe.
Such an overused joke that I don't even care.
We've new juice out of it.
We've only seen like comic book and animated versions of Omni-Man. Like he's only ever been sort of cartoony.
Yeah.
because he's been in, you know, on print in an animated form, and it's like kind of weird to see him given the more realistic but still a little bit cartoony Mortal Kombat treatment.
That's what I love about the art style in this game, though, is I do feel like it's like it is leaning a little into the cartoony side, which is super fun. And so, like, seeing that convergence of, like, all right, this is a cartoon character, basically, or a comic character. We're going to bring him in here. He's a little realistic, but he's still a little goofy. Yeah, but we're still going to tear his balls off.
But what's funny about that, when you look at Omni-Man, I mean, like, I had no notes. Looked fine. But I don't know if you remember when the Joker was revealed in Mortal Kombat. Numbered something.
Yeah, because
which one was it?
I know.
When the Joker was revealed, everyone was harping on that and how bad it looked. It just looked like a cosplayer.
Well, because like they had done so well, like with, you know.
To be fair, the Joker is a cosplayer. So
it looked nothing like the Joker.
Yeah.
It didn't look like any of the Jokers.
No.
That's the other thing. Like there's so many Jokers and it didn't look like any of them. And here it's like they have one, you know, this one peacemaker basically that modern comic book TV show and movie fans know. And like it works. They got it right.
I feel like we'll probably get like alternate costumes in there somewhere.
Yeah, they're good about
it. But
that.
I wanted to talk about this. Like if they were to continue this theme of like bad superheroes, who would be a good fit here? Because I have some ideas. We heard some rumors, Billy Butcher. We heard some rumblings that maybe to go with Homelander, we'd also get Billy Butcher, who's played by Carl Urban on the show. If you got Carl Urban in the mocap studio, you're getting him for some lines. Maybe we can get Judge Dredd in there too.
Judge Dredd would be awesome.
Judge Dredd in Mortal Kombat would be so good.
Yeah.
I'd be so into that. I'd be all over it.
Mine would just be anime characters.
Yeah, go for it.
I'd probably say maybe, Endeavor from like One Punch Man. Or not One Punch Man, My Academia.
Yeah. Endeavor?
Yeah. Ooh, he would be a good one.
Actually, maybe. I would say,
People still hate him.
What's his fatality?
Well, he's full of fire, so probably not burning him.
the fatality that people would do to him. Like, no, what would he do to other people?
Oh, he would just burn people to death. Like, that's just the same.
That's good. That's
okay. I gotta put on my anime nerd hat now. Like, you think Endeavor is a bad superhero?
He's not a bad, he's like an anti-hero.
You think he's an anti-hero?
He's absolutely an anti-hero.
Why? My burning question is why?
I have no strong feelings on this matter whatsoever.
You have very strong feelings. They kind of...
Well, because he's a bad father.
Yeah, he like abused his kid.
Okay, I forgot about the father aspect. I was thinking superhero.
And wife. Thing that he also beat his wife. But
like Omni-Man is not a good dad.
To be fair, kind of give him a comeback in the manga, and he's a little better now. But
no,
he is someone for
can't
a while.
Make it for the past.
There's, yeah. there is one. Okay?
Homelander's not a good dad.
They're not.
Have you seen
Dobby?
No, I haven't.
They're a big. It's a big. It's a big thing going on right now in the series, in the manga currently. But he was a very much. Much like a debatable, hated hero throughout most of the series because he was the number two hero, and it was like, this guy abuses children. One of them is now a villain. His wife is banned from, or he's banned from seeing his wife because he abused her. Behind the scenes, he was a bad dude.
I wonder if we're ever going to get anime characters in Mortal Kombat. Have we? Have they done that at all? I'm trying to.
Probably not, but it'd be awesome if they did.
Endeavor would be a great one because Endeavor has like a fiery beard and mustache and eyebrows as well, right?
He kind of looks like Omni-Man on fire, actually, now you think about it.
I don't know if Ed Boon's like a big anime dude.
Well, I mean, it's weird because like they're a Western studio that makes fighting games, and it's like, I feel like any, you know, Japanese anime studio that's going to team up with somebody to put their characters in a game, like there's plenty over there.
So
like,
anime loves their anti-heroes. They love making bad superheroes and bad protagonists. Like, it would just be like, you could put Light from Death Note in there. Yep. There you go. You know, it's like, it's an ongoing thing. So for me, it's like that's where my brain goes to.
I mean, they've made like a million anime fighting games, but they're never like Mortal Kombat level hyper-violent.
It's also hard to make hyper-realistic anime characters.
It's weird.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
I was building up to is I would love to see Vegeta in Mortal Kombat, but like...
But hyper-realistic
Vegeta. He looks realistic, and it's upsetting. It's like when it's like,
eyes as
he
well.
He just looks like he's in an 80s metal band. Like, that's just what the
This
hair.
Is like the magic of Comic-Con, though. Like, you walk outside, and you see, like, human adults cosplaying as anime characters.
It's like, here's realistic Homer Simpson, just, and you're like,
He's got this giant, big 80s metal hair. Like, that's what every Dragon Ball character would be. Yeah, hyper-realistic Homer Simpson would be terrifying.
But also, like, you need, like, the Simpsons to be like, oh, can, you know, you're allowed to rip his heart out.
They would have to do that old Simpsons episode where Homer gets dropped into real
3D,
life.
Yeah.
It's just still him, but
in
3D.
We Simpsons fight. We got Simpsons wrestling, right?
Yeah, Simpsons wrestling.
I like that I just beeline for you. Like, you know this.
You know this.
Yeah.
Huge
we
Simpsons
have it
fan.
In the studio in L.A., the L.A. offices.
Is it in the arcade game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They did like a, it's Simpsons Arcade, and it also comes with, what is it, Simpsons Bowling and Wrestling.
And wrestling, yeah. I think
so.
Or I could be lying to our audience.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Can't spell lying with that IGN.
Oh, no. Okay, so we've been running a pretty tight ship so far. We've really been staying on topic, really just following this run of show that we prepared.
A-plus stuff.
Really
that's
did a good
definitely
job
not
at
the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
Let's talk about Comic-Con stuff.
Sure.
Nice.
What, like, Lisa, what did you see at Comic-Con that really was
cool? Well, you know that I love statues and figurines, so I saw a lot of awesome statues and figurines. But what was really funny is that it's the same, who was the same studio that did the Chun-Li one?
Yeah, Premium Collectibles.
They had a whole bunch of them. They had an awesome show. Shredder statue.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. But they had two RoboCop ones, and inside the same case was a Mega Man. And I was like, this is, wait, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
That was weird,
now,
right?
I'm like, what's the connection here?
It was like RoboCop one with like the classic silver one. And then there's like the bluish one that's like the bad RoboCop from two.
Uh-huh.
And then they just had like, it looked like they had their child with them, but he was like missing. Like some of his, you know, he had like some of his robot parts showing.
Yeah.
It's like, here's anime robot, RoboCop here.
You have like two police officers, one's evil, and then there's like their little boy who's like, I have to get the flash power so I can beat the wood guy.
Right.
The wood power so I can beat the electric guy, and then the water guy's here with bubbles.
Yeah, there you go.
Not how Mega Man talks, but.
What happened with
exactly
Woodman?
Exactly how you talk. Just,
what happened with Woodman?
What happened with, like, did they just run out of, like, was that like, waiting for a paycheck or something? They were like, we don't have any more metal for robots. We got like a wooden man.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
That's an existential crisis.
But there's so many good ones, but I told you guys about this earlier. There's this like really awesome Jesus Christ statue.
It's hyper.
It's like,
I was about to say hyper realistic, but
says,
I don't.
Jesus Christ, the Ascension on
it's,
it.
It's the moment like, where he's going up, yeah.
It's like when he's about to do his like
is
Dragon
it
Ball.
Video game?
Yeah.
It's not even Jesus Christ statue.
It's, I mean, it's.
And the Ascension. It's before he does his
in
big
all fairness,
power up,
they've been making statues of him for like way longer than they've been making statues of most of the characters. These statues of Comic Con. Like, they've been around for a while.
I mean, they always have like big ones in churches, but this one's like he's about to do with like a power move.
Do you know my hotel has a 1-to-1 scale recreation of the Bible? Thank you.
That was pretty bad.
So that same studio, they're not just religious question mark. But they also had double dragon figures that were really good.
Yeah, they had some really random ones.
And then True Romance, which
that's
like what that's I don't know. I mean, I have
wait,
like
so a, that studio is doing Jesus Christ, Double Dragon, and True Romance.
Yeah,
that classic three pack.
Okay. Thing.
I really honestly love studios that are just like instead of just making things that are super popular right now, you know, like here's a, you know, Demon Slayer statue or whatever. They like go out of their way to make things that they really want to make and you're like
that.
Your interest is very odd.
Yeah, no, we
you're
were
really all over the place.
We were over at the Super 7 booth the other night and it's a studio run by this friend of ours named Brian Flynn, and he basically just goes like, I'm going to make toys of anything I love.
They're finally doing a Danzig figure?
Yeah.
They're doing different ones.
Did you see the Dio one? They had all sorts of rock star ones. It's like, I didn't even think about musician statues.
Oh,
that's opening another can that I don't
know. That's right, the Double Dragon Jesus one. They had that was Dio too.
They had like Dio.
It was
I'm making Golden Girls also.
And
I don't know why I looked at you like
I had
Golden Girls fan.
I had mixed feelings there because they have a Dio statue where he's like throwing the goat and there's like a dragon underneath him. And then there's another one of Gene Simmons, and it was just weird that it was like Spider-Man and his amazing friends. It was like, this isn't a super team. This is just disparate characters near each other. Like, why is Dio and Gene Simmons near each other?
They also had some, like, there's like a Armored Core mech on the show floor, which is pretty
cool.
And like, it's weird because there's not a ton of video game stuff here. Yep. I think that like we're in that weird between window of like Summer Games Fest and Gamescom. which I think is going to go like super hard this year in terms of game stuff. Like, I think a lot of awesome stuff's going to happen.
Actually gave me some hope in terms of like games at Comic-Con. I looked this up when Spider-Man first showed up, like the Insomniac game. They were part of a sort of all-purpose Marvel games panel that was in Hall H, which Hall H is the big one that fills up with people, and it's like usually that's reserved for like the MCU or like what's the future of the DC movies, whatever. Spider-Man 2 was the only they headlined. It wasn't like, you know, Marvel Games featuring, you know, Spider-Man 2, Marvel Snap, like Midnight Suns. It was just Spider-Man 2, and that was like that felt to me like a certain, like that was qualifying it as like we've come a long way. Like things have kind of started to ramp up a bit. And I don't know.
Which I dig. We had like one of the most like quintessential Comic-Con moments ever today. We had Todd McFarlane on the show, who like created Spawn, co-created Venom, and Max had this idea like, hey, this dude made Venom, so like let's show him Venom in the new Spider-Man game and see what he thinks of it. And like he's done our show for like 5-6 years straight now, and it's always fun. Like he always comes on, and he just brings toys and weapons and just nonsense.
He's like, Todd, what are you working on these days? And he's like, I got some great news, guys. Spawn is back. Head over to Kickstarter.
He's a cowboy now. All this stuff. And so this time around, we were just like, he brought all these Batman action figures from all the movies.
The Batsmen.
And we're like freaking out because they're so cool. And at the end, Max is kind of like, hey, so they're making a new Venom-y video game.
Venom-y man. You know.
And you know, you probably have some ideas of what the right way to do Venom is. And we showed him the trailer, and he was like, geeking out. Like he was like, this is, you know, they got his size right. Yeah. They got his teeth right. The teeth should be animal-like and irregular. Saliva should be flying
everywhere. He hadn't seen it.
He'd never seen it.
I think he was like ready to be diplomatic, and I think we kind of watched him sort of light up.
Yeah.
Like he was like, that looks vicious.
Well, because he was like, right. You know, when I saw Venom in the third Spider-Man movie, I kept waiting for him to get bigger. And he never did.
Yeah.
Because like he was like, Venom should be 20, 30, 40, 50%.
Did you ask him about the puddles though?
You know what? He's a leading expert.
I know. He actually said he liked how wet and slimy Venom looked. So, Todd McFarlane likes the slime.
This was like our first really good shot of Venom in this. And like, man, like this is the kind of thing if you had showed me and seen.
That's probably such a cool experience though, because it's like he hadn't seen it and it's like, this is a thing you made.
It was
like,
awesome. It was awesome. And it's like, you know, obviously like at some point you make a character and it's outside of your creative control. You're not like overseeing it anymore. Todd's moved on to so many other things. He's working on Batman and Spawn and stuff like that. Venom has obviously grown bigger than whatever he's worked on, but he still gets to check in and be like, oh yeah, that's my little baby boy right there.
Aww.
With big teeth and saliva and a horrible tongue. You actually had a lot of notes about the tongue.
He's like, tongues aren't that scary. That was the guy who came after me who added the tongue. I was like, no one ever comes at you and goes, ah. Like, well, I don't know about you. Sometimes. Yeah.
I hope they add that sound effect, actually.
We saw a lot of Todd McFarlane's tongue today, which, Comic-Con.
Well, Comic-Con.
He was talking, so what else are you supposed to say?
I've talked to you for hundreds of hours. I've never seen your tongue.
What are you talking about? The hell are you talking about? You see my tongue all the time.
Out of context, that's great.
Don't do that.
Stop that right this instant. I don't like it one bit.
Hey, everyone. I don't want to see anybody's songs.
All right, we are running out of time here, but before we go, Lisa, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I just post stand-up and gaming stuff. I'm on everything.
Now, you Twitch stream too, right? You Twitch stream.
I do. That's also a thing I do a lot.
What do you Twitch stream? What have you been playing these
days? You're excited to hear this. Metal Gear Solid 5. I'm getting through the Metal Gear Solid series right now, and it's amazing and confusing.
You're getting like nonstop copyright strikes too.
Yes, I love that because Twitch had they have implemented the whole DMCA thing, but since you can't mod over the soundtrack of Metal Gear Solid 5.
Right.
Like having a helicopter pick you up playing Maneater by Hollow Notes is crucial to the game experience.
I was gonna ask, like, what's your helicopter theme?
I haven't gotten to that yet, but that is the song I'm going to choose. Right now, it's She Blinded Me with Science, and that has gotten me almost suspended. And I'm like, worth it.
Worth it.
That game is
so good.
What was your helicopter theme?
I don't remember. That game came out, what, like 6 years ago at this point?
Something like that. I think about it every night, though. I love love it. I love that game so much.
Yeah.
Akeem, you walked up when we were talking about it, and you were like, why are you talking about this?
Yeah, it's 2023. I just couldn't believe, because, I mean, you're playing it now.
Yeah.
But, Max, it's been many years since you've played. I was like, how do you retain so much knowledge about that particular game? I don't know.
I guess it just didn't hit me
the same way. I don't know.
Mm.
I think it's the best part about streaming it, though, is because people who are really into those type of niche series are finally seeing someone who hasn't played them.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's someone who hasn't played Metal Gear Solid. And instead of being like, how did you skip out on this? They're just excited to see somebody.
So wait, you played 5 a million years ago with no context, and then you played all of the ones leading up to it.
Yeah, I had never played any of them until then, and I was like, why are we listening to David Bowie, and why am I on the side of a horse? Why does my dog have a gun? Like, it was just like, too much was going on. And then I decided to play through all of them this past year, and now I'm caught up. I'm like...
And you're picking up those Metal Gear fans, and the cool thing about live streaming that is the fact that you have like a live wikis guy, so if you get lost, just look at chat.
No, they just argue over who the best Snake is.
Who's the best Snake?
Naked Snake.
Why would you say such a Also, side note, that's not David Bowie, that's Midjourney.
Yeah.
Sounds David like
Bowie
David Bowie.
Is Naked Snake.
Yeah.
No,
I believe that.
But you know, it was just like, it was just so much was going on. I was so fascinated by it, and I just never had a chance to play it. And streaming gave me the opportunity to finally get through things with people who...
I mean, that game is phenomenal.
It is.
I'm sad that you're getting copyright strikes left and right, but I'm glad that you're...
You know, it's going to be worth it.
You're willing to risk the jail time.
It's worth it. I'm going to go to jail for 80s music.
I think my mental image of that game is just like hauling ass across the desert, and I'm in like a pink Jeep. I'm wearing like leopard print pants and no shirt, and I'm just blasting Laura Branigan, and I'm like cheating the camera around. I'm like, yeah, I look cool as hell. And then I just hit a rock going full speed.
It's very funny and reactionary, and also it still feels like a new game.
The concept of fultoning something or whatever, where you put the balloon on him and it just floats away, and they're like, bah.
Yeah, I played Peace Walker before this. I'm like, this is so good. And then I was like, dude, Metal Gear Solid 5 is like the better version of this.
Oh my God.
So.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it.
Finish that game one day because there's so much good stuff in there.
Someday, maybe.
Someday.
What if they made like a similar game where you just delivered mail?
But nothing was there.
Yeah.
And it was super sad. And morose.
I don't know.
Venomy.
And Venomy.
It is Venomy. That's Death Stranding.
Death Stranding is pretty Venomy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a lot of puddle men.
Puddle man.
There's good puddles.
Muddy
buddies. I heard there's good puddles in that game.
There are really good puddles. People were not complaining about
those. The power of the Decima engine. Great puddles.
Yep. Yeah.
Spider-Man should take notes. Anyway, Brian, Akeem, Lisa, thank you so much for hanging out, talking about whatever we just talked about. It's been a week. It's
Happy Comic Con, man.
Happy Comic Con. Do you hear that noise? That's the sound of people who are really happy they don't have to hear us talking about Venom anymore.
Yeah.
They get to go home to their families after this. On that note, as always, you can find new episodes of Beyond every week on youtube.com/IGN Games, wherever you get your podcasts, or IGN.com. If you missed any of our Comic-Con coverage, I'm mad at you.
Come on.
Go watch it. What's wrong with you? Fix that.
We worked so hard.
We worked really hard. We're tuckered out. On that note, Beyond.
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 Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.